This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today's episode is on, I'll do the English introduction.
Okay.
Today's episode is on the Japanese pork cutlet called...
Tonkatsu.
Nice.
今日のエピソードはトンカツについてです。
So wait, Matthew, I get very confused pronouncing it because I know also that, like, the ramen, like rich pork broth is called tonkatsu.
Tonkotsu.
Okay, so you pronounce it with, like, a longer O sound.
Or like a more rounder O sound.
Okay, because that is tonkotsu with an O, and this
kotsu
is
tonkatsu
with an A.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay.
And... We've recently come back from Japan. We did it again.
We did it again.
And
this time with our families.
I think this might be one of the first of three in a row of Japanese food related episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I for one couldn't be more pleased.
Yes, yes. We took our families to Tokyo for Christmas and New Year.
Yep.
Matthew got the flu.
Uh-huh. But not till the very end. Like, I got it basically, like, after you guys left.
That's true. Watsel had a cold / flu.
Uh-huh.
Let's see.
This is our influenza episode. I was telling Molly, I learned so much about the flu that now I just want to tell everybody, even though it's probably very boring.
Yeah, I think we'll talk about tonkatsu instead.
Okay, fine.
So I had tonkatsu, even though it's available all over the place in the States, right? I mean,
yeah.
I think even people who don't know the word tonkatsu will recognize this thing we're talking about.
Yeah, it's a breaded pork cutlet.
Yes, and it's usually served with rice, shredded cabbage, and like a special sauce that is like a, it's almost like a savory, less tomatoey ketchup.
Yeah, it's a sweet and savory sauce.
Yeah, tonkatsu sauce.
Yeah.
The first time I ever had it was actually not in the States, which is surprising because it's easy to find here. But the first time I ever had it was when you and I went to Tokyo together, a little over 2 years ago, and we went to this place called Meisen.
Oh, this is like memory lane.
This is memory lane. This is my memory lane of tonkatsu. We went to the Meisen. There are multiple Meisen in Tokyo.
But we went to the original.
Which is the Harajuku one?
Yes.
Okay. We went for lunch. It looks quite fancy, I would say, the restaurant does.
Yes, the restaurant is in an old converted bathhouse.
Oh, is that what it is? Is that why it's laid out like it is?
I think so.
It's kind of rambling.
Yeah,
It's like a split-level house.
Yeah, and there's private rooms upstairs, and there's like a big like kind of cafeteria room downstairs that we ate in.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a screaming deal at lunch.
Yeah?
It's 990 yen, which is
less,
like,
than 10 bucks.
Yeah, for lunch. And that is for either, we'll talk about the two different cuts of meat that it's made from, but either of the two cuts, rice, as much shredded cabbage as you can eat, grated daikon. I think there's a miso soup that comes with that.
Yep. Pickles.
Oh my gosh. It's, it, it I love it so much. Yes. I'm at a loss for words. But hold on.
Yeah.
I went back on this visit. This time I took my mom and Ash and June. And this time we were seated in one of the upstairs rooms, sitting at tatami tables. And so that was really cool because that was such a different vibe from the more kind of cafeteria-y room that you and I were in.
Did anyone get additional cabbage? Like, did they come around with like tongs offering?
None of us could manage to like to even make a dent in what cabbage we were given.
Yeah, I'm like a bad food show host because like I never have room for seconds of pretty much anything anymore.
I know you're supposed to be like David Chang and
you're supposed to go like David Chang.
In the alleyway and then go eat some more.
Yeah, I should try that.
Yeah.
Does it have to be an alleyway or like?
I think it's usually an alleyway is what I remember reading in Lucky Peach.
Yeah, they do have a lot of alleyways in Japan, but like Japan, the streets are so clean for the most part. I feel like I would need to like clean up my own puke before going back.
And since there are not a lot of public trash cans on the streets there, you would definitely need to like bring your own barf bag.
That's true. Okay.
Wow. So far this episode is about vomiting and the flu.
Uh-huh. And that is a common misconception that there's such a thing as a stomach flu. No such thing.
Really? Yeah,
what was called stomach flu is usually viral gastroenteritis.
Mm.
And that causes gastrointestinal symptoms and fever, but not cough.
Oh.
Whereas the flu, you always get a cough, pretty much.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. This is great.
So, cool.
So what about your memory lane?
Okay. So I definitely had the flu sometimes when I was a kid. It was terrible.
Matthew.
Like you just lying in bed all day. Well, actually, no, it was great because you could just watch cartoons all day.
Okay. So anyway, what about your tonkatsu memory lane?
I don't know when I first had tonkatsu. Like I know I knew it was a thing the first time I went to Japan and I think had already had it maybe at a Japanese restaurant in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's definitely become one of my favorite Japanese comfort foods.
There is nothing to not like about it.
Yeah. And the first time I went to Japan with my family in 2012, like that was one of the first meals we had was at Maisen.
Oh, really?
And we met up with some friends from the U.S. who happened to be in Tokyo at the same time. And we got one of those upstairs rooms at Maisen. It was great.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about what this is.
Okay. So tonkatsu, ton is a way of saying pork in Japanese. And katsu is short for katsuretsu, which is cutlet.
Okay.
So it is a pork cutlet. And it is breaded and fried with like a three-part breading, which I know we've talked about on the show before, maybe on the panko episode.
I don't remember. Would you talk about it again?
Okay, so three-part breading. I sound way too excited about
this. Is it like a split-level breading?
It's like a split-level bread. It's like a Cape Cod or Cape Cod. No, Cape Codder is a cocktail.
But there's a Cape Cod style house.
Yes, no, I think
the
house I grew up in Portland was a Cape Cod style house, but I don't know what that means.
Okay, I grew up in like a ranch, and now
split level ranch.
And now I live in a raised ranch.
I never heard of that.
Well, you enter on the second floor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's true. You do enter on the second floor, and then if you want, you can descend into the red carpeted love dungeon. And I don't know why you wouldn't want to.
Well, and so because you enter on the second floor, and nobody ever goes down to the red carpeted love dungeon.
I do
at my house. It makes it seem like the red carpeted love dungeon is the basement, but it's totally above ground. You are in a raised ranch.
I'm really sorry to hear that no one goes down to the red carpeted love dungeon at your house. We need to talk about this off mic.
Okay.
I have some ideas.
Okay.
Okay. So we were talking about tonkatsu. That's right.
Right.
So
three level breading. I mean, three-part breading.
Okay. Three-part breading. It's a breading in three acts. Act one, you dredge the meat in flour, and that's to make the egg, which is step two, stick to it. So you dredge it in flour and you shake off the flour so it's got a very thin coating of flour.
This is what I do when I make chicken cutlets.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not at all like strictly a Japanese thing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And tonkatsu, like, it's considered a Western-style dish in Japan.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And we'll get to that in significantly more detail, I think.
So you dredge it in flour.
Yes, you dredge it in flour. Then you dip it in beaten egg and you let that drip off. And then you bread it with panko pretty thickly.
Mm, okay.
And then you fry it.
Awesome.
And it's usually deep fried. I mean, at a restaurant, it's always going to be deep fried. But for making it at home, you can shallow fry, and that works great and uses much less oil and is much easier to clean up.
Right. Okay. Tell me more. Where did this come from? Like, has it been around for a while?
So there is this restaurant in Japan that I should look up whether it still exists. I can't remember. But it was considered like the first yoshoku restaurant, which was like Japanese style Western foods restaurant. So things like beef stew and tonkatsu and other fried things, and spaghetti Napolitan, which is spaghetti mm-hmm. with like a ketchup based tomato sauce. Mm-hmm. One of my absolute least favorite things you can eat in Japan. The place was called Rengate, which is like brick house. And it was in Ginza and opened in 1899. And it claims to be the inventor of tonkatsu and ebi furai and like a bunch of these yoshoku dishes. It's like, it's too good to be true,
I think. Yeah, that seems greedy of them.
Yes.
I feel like they should share some of the like innovation yeah. status with other people.
So when you bread something this way in Japanese cuisine, it's called a furai dish, just like fry.
Okay.
Something that's breaded and with panko and deep fried. And if it's like a horse mackerel, that's aji furai. If it's shrimp, that's ebi furai. But if it's pork, that's tonkatsu. But it's exactly the same procedure.
And for instance, let's talk about how this differs from tempura.
Mm-hmm.
Tempura is not panko breaded.
Right.
It's dipped in a batter.
Right. And that's just a one step dip.
And that is not considered yoshoku, right?
No. So tempura originated much earlier because panko is kind of an industrial process.
That makes sense.
And so like panko breaded things date from like the late 19th century.
Okay.
But tempura dates from I think the 17th century and came from Portugal.
Very cool. Okay. Okay.
So yeah, have we done a tempura episode?
I don't think we have.
It's tonkatsu and other furai dishes are very easy to make at home and like have it be successful on the first try. That is less true of tempura. It's something that takes practice, but is worth doing.
The batter is kind of temperamental or needs
the batter
to be
is kind
super
of temperamental.
Fresh or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, because like if it sits around, like more and more gluten forms and the coating gets tough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So hold on. Let's talk about cuts of meat.
Let's talk about cuts of meat.
Because
it's our weekly segment.
So our weekly segments are, let's talk about cuts of meat and what have we learned?
Don't forget memory lane.
Okay. And our, I don't know what else.
There was animal journalism. Right?
That's right.
Yes. Okay. So let's talk about cuts of meat. Last week it was rump roast. And this week it's the cuts used for tonkatsu. So I had to try and do some research on this, a lot of Japanese Googling, and I'm still not 100% sure that the way the cuts are labeled in Japan is the same as what we call them in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I think. So whenever you go to a tonkatsu restaurant, you will get a choice of rosu katsu or hide katsu.
Mm-hmm.
And rosu, it means roast. Hide is fillet.
Mm-hmm.
And so all you can say for sure is rosu will be fattier and hide will be leaner.
In fact, when I heard them say the latter at mm-hmm. Meisen, I thought they were saying fillet.
Yeah, the sound in Japanese, like it's somewhere between H and F in English.
Yeah, when we went, June ordered the rosu and mm-hmm. The rest of us all had the hide.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I know that the rosu is classic.
They're both good. It's not like one is automatically better than the other by any means.
Yeah, yeah.
So rosu is usually a shoulder steak or a rib chop. So something from like the shoulder to rib area.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hide is usually tenderloin.
Right. And it's kind of like little medallions.
Yes, because it's a smaller cut.
Right. Okay. And so when you've made tonkatsu in the States, what have you used?
I usually use boneless loin or rib chops and pound them a little bit with a meat pounder.
Okay. Okay.
Do you ever pound things with a meat pounder?
I don't have a meat pounder.
It's so satisfying.
I have pounded things with my...
I know you've pounded things.
I have pounded things with my citrus squeezer.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's kind of heavy, but it does have a round bottom. So
okay.
I get this weirdly hammered tin texture.
Do you remember have we talked about the hand hammered wok infomercial?
No.
This was a thing from when I was a kid. There was this... Did you watch infomercials when you were a kid?
You could not avoid them when we were kids.
Right. So you stay up late. We didn't have cable.
Were you staying up late to watch Alternative Nation?
I was staying up late to watch Alternative Nation. Yeah, 120 minutes. Absolutely. Always Sunday night, I think.
I can't remember.
Headbangers
Ball?
Headbangers Ball, yes. Huh? Later, we did get cable, and I would stay up and watch like Cinemax.
Wait, all those things are on cable.
Oh yeah, okay. No, that's later. We got premium cable, right? Oh. We had basic cable.
And Cinemax was the one that always had like softcore porn,
exactly,
on it, right?
Like in retrospect, very softcore.
We never had Cinemax, therefore I never got to watch softcore porn. Teenager.
It's too late to watch it as a teenager.
I struggle with porn.
Really?
Yeah, because
I feel like this just got extremely serious.
Well, because here's the thing.
Because you're not really into it?
Well, no, here's the thing. So there's porn with a narrative and there's porn without a narrative, all right? Porn with a narrative, I think, is god-awful. Like, I've even tried, like, queer porn with a narrative.
Yeah.
And it just, I can hardly tolerate.
I often have a hard time watching good acting.
Yeah, no, it's brutal.
Right.
And then porn without a narrative, I just find, I have not yet identified them. Like, I've not yet identified porn that I felt was for me.
So here's something I thought was kind of interesting. I think we talked about this when I was in Japan. I can't remember. I know I talked about it with wife of the show, Lori. You and I and Ash at different times all went to the manga cafe near where we were staying.
Yes.
Because like Ash needed to do some video counseling sessions.
Yes.
Because that's their job.
Yes.
And needed like a place with like some privacy and good internet access. And there's a 24-hour manga cafe, which is like a cafe where you can read comics or watch videos, and like, because it's like a place where like lots of dudes hang out. There's
it's
like
open 24 hours.
It's open 24 hours. And apparently, I went there like when I, you know, woke up at 5 o'clock and just wanted someplace to like catch up on email and stuff. But like near the drink machine at the manga cafe, and I think this is really typical for manga cafes, there's a section of porno mags.
Okay.
And like, of course, like while I'm waiting for my coffee to brew, like I'm gonna check out what's on the porno mag shelf.
And was it all Japanese porn?
It was. And yeah. It seemed like there were two different styles. We're just getting back to what you were talking about.
Narrative and not narrative?
Essentially, yes.
Okay.
So there was one that was like the hardcore, just like you open it up and like, wham, they're fucking.
Okay.
And I found this not very interesting.
Okay.
And then there was the kind that was extremely softcore in the sense that it's like, you're like following like the girl next door through her like daily routine, and like she'll be in her underwear at some point, but like no nudity even at all at any point.
Uh-huh.
And like I'm like, I kept turning the pages
on
as
well. Like, when's like, she gonna change her clothes? When's she gonna take it off?
Yeah, but I was like, I think I could be into this kind.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's really good to know.
It was interesting. I feel like I learned things about myself.
Well, you know, so I think the queer porn, I'm sure, I know we have many listeners who know way more about this than I do. But in my scant explorations, you know, either it's definitely geared toward like straight dudes.
Sure.
Or it's like so queer. Like...
Right.
Like super queer, you know, like let's see like all the different fetishes we can throw in here. And I'm kind of looking for something in the
between.
Middle. Yeah.
I bet that exists.
I'm sure it exists. And I'm sure that all of our listeners are rolling their eyes
contact
at me right now being like, Molly, you're an idiot.
What is like the medium place of queer porn that Molly should check out?
Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Masterclass.
Matthew, this weekend I took a class from somebody who I bet you admire as much as I do.
Okay, let me see it. Let me see if I can guess who that is. Denzel Washington.
No, so close though.
Okay.
Margaret Atwood.
Okay, yeah, very similar.
Yes. So Margaret Atwood, she has a series of 23 classes on Masterclass.
23 classes.
23 classes. And I only had time, honestly, to watch two of them. But one of the ones that I watched was about how she chose to write The Handmaid's Tale in first person, where she wrote Alias Grace from multiple points of view.
Wow.
And so it was so interesting to listen to her talk about like the feeling that she wanted the book to have and why a story should be told from this perspective or that one. Anyway, even though I'm a writer and I teach writing, I think this stuff would be fascinating even to people who just read the book. It was so great.
Yeah, I mean, Masterclass is for you. If you're like me, a bit of a prima donna, and you're like, I want to learn something, but I only want to learn from the best, you go to Masterclass. You can you know, learn to think like a boss with Martha Stewart. You can learn to shoot three-pointers with Steph Curry. Like, if you imagine the person who's best at the thing you want to learn, they are probably already on Masterclass teaching how to do it.
That is accurate. And plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So, like, zero risk here. If you are a lifelong learner, and we certainly hope you are,
if you're a lifelong learner, why are you listening to this show? Instead, head over to Masterclass for an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's masterclass.com/spilledmilk15. We're talking about cuts of meat. It's our weekly cuts of meat segment,
which is related to our porn segment now.
So okay, so there's the fattier rosu or the leaner hide. They're both great, whatever you're in the mood for.
Okay, so Matthew, do you ever do tonkatsu at home?
I do pretty often.
Okay, and do you do the full like rice shredded cabbage treatment? Do you dress up and come around with a bowl of more shredded cabbage to offer to Watzel and Tatsi?
I do. Well, I don't dress up necessarily, but I do make extra shredded cabbage. I usually shred it on the mandolin, so it's really like thin and fluffy.
Does anybody manage to eat extra shredded cabbage?
Not really. Sometimes I do.
Okay.
Like, because I start with a smaller serving for myself at home. Oh, and the nosukatsu, that's usually served cut into strips because it's like a you know, pork chop sized cut.
Yes.
And then it's cut into kind of thick strips.
Yes.
And so you can pick them up with chopsticks.
Yeah, I love that they cut it for you.
Yes, me too.
Tell me about katsu sauce. Is it something that one buys or one makes?
It is something that one buys. Like, you definitely can't, like, if you get a Japanese cookbook, there will often be a recipe for it. I think, like, the number of times someone has made it at home is, like, 5.
Is it kind of like making ketchup?
I think, yeah, it totally is. Because it is kind of inherently a commercial sauce. It's not something that was developed from something that people used to make at home. It's something that originated as a commercial and restaurant sauce, I think.
Okay.
And, you know, the commercial one, the most popular brand is Bulldog, and it's made with, like, lots of different dried fruits and, like, Worcestershire sauce and, like...
It definitely has a Worcestershire-y thing going
and it's,
on.
I learned when I was researching for this episode that... per Japanese law, Japanese food standards, katsu sauce is a viscous sauce with a viscosity of over 2.0 Pascal seconds.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I'm guessing that it's something like the amount of time it takes for it to like roll a certain amount held at a certain angle.
Yeah, I have some in the fridge. Like we can like dispense some. It's really like thick. It's kind of starchy thickened, I think.
Huh. What I also loved, but didn't try, but I loved the look of it, was I saw both in our neighborhood grocery store, Life, as well as in Kombini or convenience stores, where they had packaged sandwiches.
Yes.
They always had a tonkatsu sandwich, and you could, you know, it was adorable. It's like on this like crustless bread. And usually cut into small squares.
Yeah, squares or rectangles. Yeah.
And with cabbage in there and the katsu sauce, right?
Yes.
On white bread.
Yeah, sometimes cabbage, sometimes not.
And what is it like having a katsu sandwich? Because, you know, like at Meisen, when they bring you the tonkatsu, it is on like a perfectly sized, tiny little wire rack. Yes.
Yes.
It's on a tiny little wire rack so that it's held up off the plate and won't get soggy before you finish eating it. However, a katsu sandwich is like sandwiched between two pieces of bread in a refrigerator. Like, what's it like?
Okay, so I know we've talked about this on the show before, that in Japan, in America, we love crispy things. Like, if we're going to have, like, the pork cutlet, it's got to be as crispy as possible, right? Or, like, you know, the American equivalent of the katsu sando, I think, is the, you know, the Popeye's chicken sandwich. Or
okay.
Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. Like, it's got to be a crispy cutlet, right? Okay. In Japan, there is equal appreciation, if not maybe more appreciation for the second one, for the crispy one that's, like, just fried and is, like, you know, perfectly, you know, like, greaselessly deep fried and, like, every bite is crunchy. And the later, like, soggy version that's been put into a sauce.
I'm thinking of when I have ordered, like, a bowl of udon or a bowl of soba soup in broth with tempura. And
yep.
If you order, like, shrimp tempura with soba, you know, they bring you your two pieces of shrimp, like, sitting in mm-hmm. the broth that the soba is in. And no matter how quick you are, by the time you fish it out, it is, like, super soggy, falling apart. And I was really struggling.
So I would predict that if you continued ordering and eating this sort of thing, your experience will be the same as mine, which is that at first I'm like, I don't get this. Like, why wouldn't they serve this on the side so it stays crispy? And then, like, kind of suddenly snuck up on me, like, oh, like, suddenly I get this. I like it this way. I like how it soaks up so much of the broth, and it's, like, kind of, like, greasy and has, like, a spongy texture. Like, I'm not describing it very well.
No, I get it. I mean, it is totally
a took me a while, though.
It's totally a textural thing. And mm-hmm. I think about how in Asian cuisines, there is much more of an appreciation than in, like, you know, American cuisine for, like, chewy and slippery textures.
Yeah.
So, like, this totally makes sense.
That don't really have any flavor and are there just because people like the texture.
Yeah.
That's a big thing in Japanese food and lots of East Asian food.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to go back to Tokyo or we'll do a tempura episode.
Having
and I will
said
just
that,
keep eating tempura till I experience this transformation.
I think even if, like, that's not a texture you grew up with, I don't think a katsu sando is as challenging as, like, a tempura soba.
Because
it's like, you know, it's like any number of cold leftover meat sandwiches that you have enjoyed.
Right. Like cold fried chicken or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So tonkatsu is served on top of plenty of other things, right?
Yeah.
Not just with rice.
So I love a katsudon, which is a tonkatsu on a bowl of rice with egg sauce usually. So that's a sauce made with soy sauce, mirin, dashi, and, like, really lightly cooked egg, like egg that's been kind of scrambled into the sauce.
Is it kind of like a coddled egg?
No, because the egg is, like, distributed throughout the sauce.
Oh, okay.
That is delicious.
And that's on udon, you said?
On rice.
Oh, on rice. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay. What is katsudon?
That is katsudon. So it's katsu.
Oh, on rice.
Don is short for donburi, which is a bowl of rice.
Okay, right. For some reason, I was reading it as katsudon,
right,
which is completely different from katsudon.
That is udon eaten by a cat.
Great. All right. What is misokatsu? You wrote it here on the misokatsu?
Misokatsu is a Nagoya dish, and it is a tonkatsu served with a thick, rich, sweet miso sauce on top instead of tonkatsu sauce.
I think I would like to try that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had it. Actually, it looks really good.
And where is Nagoya?
Nagoya is like kind of in the middle of Honshu, the big island of Japan. It's where the Japanese auto industry is. It's considered kind of like a dull corporate town with really good food.
Oh, I'd like to go there.
I would like to go
that
there
sounds
too.
Sounds like your ideal place.
It really does.
Okay, go on. What? Anything else we should know about?
Katsu curry. So twice on this most recent trip, I went to Koko Ichiban, the curry chain, which is a fantastic chain restaurant.
What does Ichiban mean?
Number one. like, the best.
Okay.
It's actually Koko Ichibanya, so like number one curry house.
Okay.
The basic dish there is curry rice. So it's like a plate with rice and like very saucy curry that you eat with a spoon. And then there are many, many toppings to choose from. But the most popular, I'm sure, is tonkatsu. And it's like, you know, fried to order and it's great. And
awesome.
They just kind of stick it on top of your curry and rice.
Mm-hmm.
And the katsu, crispy katsu coating with the curry sauce, excellent.
So cool.
There's another like saucy katsu dish that I have not tried but looks really good called tare katsu, which is from Niigata in northern Honshu, like north central.
Mm-hmm.
And it is katsu that's been cooked and then dipped in sort of like the sauce that tempura is dipped in, so like a soy sauce and mirin based dipping sauce, and then usually served on top of rice. Also sounds great. So, like I mentioned, I do make tonkatsu at home, and when I make it at home, I will shallow fry it because I hate having to dispose of deep fry oil.
Tell me what you do with your deep fry oil.
I mean, first
of
all,
what you do with your fry oil.
I try to avoid generating it, but then
shallow fry oil.
I wait for it to cool, and then I decant it into a Ziploc bag and put it in the trash.
That's what I usually do too. But I always feel like,
like there's so many things could go wrong here. Like aside from the fact that it feels wasteful, like what if that bag explodes and. Things will never be the same.
No, things would never be the same. It's,
right.
You know, it's like if you spill milk in your car.
It's exactly like if you spill milk in your car or spill katsu sauce all over yourself in some sort of...
You'll never be the same. Talk about a life change.
Okay, let's talk about a life change. Molly's new book, The Fix Stars, is available for pre-order now. It'll be out in May, right?
I know. I was realizing last night it'll be out in less than 4 months, which I know still sounds like... A ridiculously long amount of time.
I fucking hate how long it takes for books to come out.
It takes forever.
I think you should finish the book. The editor's like, this looks pretty good. We're going to publish it on Monday.
Yeah.
I think that's how the world should work.
It takes so long. And right now we're in this like weird stage too, where I finished the second proofs and I'm waiting for the third proofs, which are going, I don't remember getting third proofs with previous books, but I'm going to get some third proofs here. And then it's going to go to the printer, I think in March. And then we'll finally have copies in April, but it'll be available in May. Such a long slog.
Yeah, that is slog-orific.
Yeah, I would prefer to be slogging through katsu sauce.
All right, so what have we learned?
We've learned about cuts of meat.
We've learned about cuts of meat. We've learned about cuts of porno mag.
Mm-hmm. We've learned about manga cafes. Mm-hmm. We learned about viscosity.
We should learn that you should start like this restaurant, Nengate, that claims to have invented like 7 different classic Japanese dishes. Like if you're starting a restaurant now, which I know people every day, even though I don't know why, you should claim to have invented a bunch of famous dishes and just see if you can get away with it.
That would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like when Brandon was opening Dino's and one of the things he had stenciled on the window before they even opened was world famous garlic knots, which kind of delighted me.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Well, you can find us, you've already found us, on CastBox, on Stitcher, on, help me.
Yeah. Apple Podcasts.
iTunes.
Google Podcasts. iTunes, gone. No longer exists.
iTunes doesn't exist anymore?
Nope.
Oh.
But we are still available on Apple Podcasts, hopefully, because like we recently had to make some changes to our website, and I'm worried that we will have broken everything by the time you hear this. But if you're hearing this, probably everything's okay.
Anyway, you can also find us online at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast, which I think is probably the best way to reach out to us.
Yeah, I mean, you can also like email us directly with those erotica recommendations.
Sure.
At contact@spilledmilkpodcast.com.
And let's see here. Our producer, our long-suffering, hardworking producer is Abby Circatella.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anything else? Instagram @SpilledMilkPodcast. We said we were going to post some stuff in Japan. I don't think we did.
I don't think we did.
Maybe it's not too late.
Maybe.
Later, Graham.
You know, soon we're going to be having our annual corporate retreat, so we'll try to do better.
Okay. Just at everything?
At everything. But also at posting.
It's a new year. It's new year, new us.
Yeah.
We're gonna find the porn that's just right for us. We're gonna
now that we're 10 years old.
Read more books.
Did you know that our show is 10 years old, Matthew?
I didn't like how that sounded.
But I know, that's true.
Yeah, happy 10th anniversary to us again.
Yeah.
We'll be milking this one for a while.
Yeah.
And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
The show that...
It's here to replenish your cabbage.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton. Okay.
Great. Okay, thanks,
so,
everybody.
So, what were we talking about?
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.